Yes, George, mine is an excellent product. I'm buying it.
Okay, for some reason I've got this thing disconnected from the Bluetooth. I don't understand, but however, here I am. It's a Monday morning. Going to work. The blister, the tarp on top of it's flapping around a lot. It's making a lot of noise. I didn't sleep all that great, but I slept, I think. Take like that as life comes. I've been struggling a lot with loving, with the concept of loving your neighbor as yourself, the second great commandment. Now, what constitutes that? Love for God is obedience and aligning yourself with His agenda, His purposes, what He's trying to accomplish. Just sitting here thinking about a case where a lot of people think that love is the most important thing, that love conquers all, the other things that are said about love. And I always, almost always translate that into different wording. And so, the love of God is translated into how one shows love to God. So many people say, I love God, but then they don't really, subscribe to what He wants, and they're not really obedient. And you're going, I'm sorry, falls on deaf ears for just, it just doesn't, you need to, you know, showing your love to God is doing what He's asked you to do. Commanded you to do. Makes no uncertain terms. It isn't like some kind of request you can say, well, you know, I'm just not really in the mood. And you know, and you can't hold me accountable for not doing it because you just, it was just a suggestion. God already took care of that by saying, oh no, everything I ask you to do is a commandment. So that if you don't do it, you know, you're in trouble. I can judge upon that. Okay, so that's rule number one is obedience. Now, obedience to God is going to require some sacrifice on your part. That's just its nature. The fact that He brings it up, you don't have to sit there and turn it into a great sacrifice. It's just gonna be that way, you know. Sometimes God tells you what to do, and a whole lot of the time, He's just telling you what your experience is going to be, and that this is going to be tough. That way, when it comes, and it is tough, you don't sit there and say, well, God never told me. God never said that it was going to be hard. You know, la, 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 la. And you go, you know what? Honestly, it all depends on your attitude about it. Often. Christ also comes back and says, hey, take upon me, to take upon yourself my yoke, my burden. The burden that I request of you, because it's not too tough. And can I say, as I've lived my life, that's the truth that I've come to know. Is that Jesus really is wonderful. And, and you don't have to be too gripey about what Christ requires. was nothing like what was ultimately required of him. You've heard about blood from every pore in the Garden of Gethsemane. That's tougher than anything you've been asked to do, or me. So that's great. Anyway, so, okay. There's the first commandment and how I kind of put that one into perspective. The second commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. Everybody tries to, you know, everybody spins up the love. Oh, love, love, love. And that means you shouldn't say anything bad. You shouldn't challenge toward anything to be, to do a better attitude. A lot of people justify it by saying, well, if you show a lot of love, that will change people. And you go, yeah, that'll change some people. Frankly, I think that putting it into those terms will change only a relatively few people who aren't already going down that road, or that aren't already that kind of person that says, oh, you know, he will move heaven and earth in the name of love. And you go, yeah, is there people like that? I said, absolutely. Somebody who was a Dan Manson of Quick Media. He was kind of talking about those sorts. But those aren't the only sorts that God contents himself to attract and try to bring back the gospel. He wants as many people as possible to have the opportunity and to give you a little push. So, and I don't know what kind of a person I am personally here for being, boy, can I be motivated to do what needs to be done based on love? And you go, sometimes. I think I can do that for Lisa. And I bring this up because in the last recording I did, I was kind of trash talking Shayna, my oldest daughter. And I was tempted to just take that one down. And I still might, but I might not. And I was trying to say, you know, do you have the right attitude about this? Are you in trouble? And I don't know. I may not be in as much trouble as I think I am. Like I said in the past, usually I translate love your neighbor as yourself in kind of the golden rule, you know, thou shalt do unto others, or, you know, don't put it in the wrong time. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. that's still God talk. But there it is. Okay. But you get the idea. That really has a big thing about how you treat other people. Do you want to be loved? Do you want people to be kindly disposed to you? If you drop something on the sidewalk or on the street, do you want some passerby to say, hey, you dropped something here, hey, whoa, hi, hey, here's what you dropped. Don't you want somebody to do that for you? And don't you want to be reciprocal? Don't you want to do that for them? Not to wish ill on them. So this is what I say, you know, people say, well, you're trash talking Shane. And you go, Shayna needs to do better. And she needs to be a better person. Now, this comes from a father. And you can say, well, you know, you're supposed to be kinder. And you go, yeah, I'm supposed to be effective. And I was saying this in the priesthood, because I said, you know what? I says, we often wonder if we've done well by our children. And I think it came up in one of these things. They said, we need to make sure that our children know what the truth is, know where to go, know what the source of all good things and joy and stuff like that, and it's Jesus Christ. And you go, do they know that? And I go, yeah, I think they do, because what I typically get when I bring up things is, yes, Dad, I know. And they're going, okay, that's them saying that they know that they've heard from me important elements of the gospel. Hopefully framed in something sensible, which I always hope to do. So therefore, I'm doing that job. And you go, yeah, I says, boy, Dad, I wish you would do it a nice way. And you go, would you listen if I just said it once? And if I said it in a really, really nice way that didn't make you say, well, you make it sound like I'm not really doing a good job at this. And you go, you know what? I said, I'm sorry, I'm the father here. I get to make that determination. And I don't think you've quite gotten it, because your actions don't show that you've gotten it. You heard it, but you haven't taken it into your heart, for instance. So, and you go, are you still concerned about Shayna? Yes. Are you willing to look like a jerk? A lot of people will back off from their kids and not do what their kids really need. And your kid doesn't necessarily have a good take on it. In fact, often they don't. You know, I don't want to get worked over. I don't want to get head packed. I don't want to get this. And I don't want to get that. And you're going, you know what? This is, you're going to get it, because I don't want you coming back at me later when the rubber hits the road, when you're there in the spirit world and you're taking garbage, getting cleaned up so that you can go before judgment. They don't let you go to judgment smelling bad and stuff like that. You don't want them coming back and say, you didn't tell me this, because you'll say, yes, I did. And the next thing they'll say is, well, you didn't do a good enough job. Because that's what a lot of people will do when they're trying to deflect blame. That's what they do. Is they tell you, you didn't do a good enough job of making sure that they got it, because now they're paying the price for it. And you go, oh, contraire mon frere. In fact, I did it so often that you would roll your eyes and go, yes, Dad, I know. And you go, don't do it now. I did my job. Did you do yours? And it's like, oh, yeah. So, and that's all wrapped up in, you know, I don't think the golden rule really has to do with being nice, particularly. I mean, because that's not usually what we need, is for everyone to be really nice to us. We need people to point out our flaws. We need people to keep poking at us. We don't have to be bad-tempered about it. But that's not a sin. I think, to be bad-tempered about it. Far more to make sure the message gets across and gets inculcated than to have them say, you didn't try hard enough. Everybody who gets on, this is a whole thing about see, and it's almost kind of a hypocritical thing. You know, people, when you talk about like the parable of lost coin, the parable of lost sheep, and how they really went out, they said, oh, well, you never gave up. And they always try to put a good spin on it, you know, oh, they just loved you forever. They just loved you. And you go, you know, they said, love comes in a lot of different forms. And one of the more effective forms is nagging and badgering. Or, you know, things that get said that way. I am always the person that goes more for things that don't sound very complimentary. I do it to myself all the time. You know, I'm perfectly willing to say, hey, I'm a jerk. And you go, well, you know, and people say, well, you can dismiss jerks because they're bad people. And you go, I wouldn't dismiss a jerk. A jerk is usually telling you correct things, just not in a way that you like. And usually the way that you would like to be told this is in a way that you can easily dismiss, right? Well, they were being so kind and nice to me. I never caught on to the point that they needed to, that I needed to be better and change. Because they were, you know, while you're trying to say, you're constantly waffling. And that's okay at first if that gets the message across. But if it doesn't, it's like, okay, I'm going to have to just cut straight out and say it. And I'm not going to sit here and protect your feelings. You need to straighten up. Friends, farm friends, you need to straighten up and do better. And they go, well, that's not very loving. And you go, no, because you think love is a style. Love is activity. You're not telling me this in a loving way. And you're going, you know, so whatever. It says you need to, you know. The most loving thing is coming out and saying it so that you can get right with God, that you can align yourself better with the agenda of God. That, I'm sorry, I know I'm hearkening to my thing, but that's what you need to do. It's God's agenda. And you can say all day long that you are surrounded by wonderful, loving people. And how wonderful that was, and how you were never in a position that you would feel bad. My parents never made me feel bad about anything. They were so wonderful. And you're going, why do I get the, oh, I missed my turn. Gosh darn it. Why do you get the impression, I do, that those parents spent more time being their child's friend and being really nice to them?
Oh. Wow. Okay.
Hey. Is that stripes? No. Oh, anyway. That they spent more time trying to be buddy buddies and thinking that they could weasel their way into their children's hearts, particularly, and never really get around to doing anything because they always thought that the manner that you did something was so much more important than actually getting around to doing it, period. That your manner is far more important. So many people, that's the biggest thing. You know, oh, it's not about what you say, it's how you say it. And it's like, you know, I'd rather people just get to the point. Because often it gets lost in all of the aren't I being sweet posturing. So yeah. And I said, so I come back and I think about maybe what I said about Shayna, that it wasn't very complimentary, and everybody will say, well, she's never going to listen to that because you're not being kind about it. And you go, you have to understand, for a lot of people, saying anything at all that might not just be, oh, you're so wonderful, we just love you, you're wonderful just the way you are, you never get past that to really saying that. And you really hope that one day the topic of their behavior will get broached and they will be all open about it and saying, well, I want to hear from you what you think. I'm not saying that won't happen, but you know what? When you've spent so much time spreading honey, that's almost all you can end up doing. You know, oh, I love you so much. And they think love will do the job. And I'm not saying that love isn't a wonderful thing. And that can it be more effective than being, you know, I am constantly accused by people, sometimes my wife, of being a sourpuss, of being a an unhappy person, and she brings it up sometimes. Other people might too. As if that is the greatest sin of all, you know, and that sweet, nice people that really don't get on to you about anything. And I have a tendency. I don't tend to be sweet about it. I just tend to be, you know what, whatever. You do what you want. It's not very... is the absolute biggest virtue. And you're going, I'm sorry, I saw Christ, and Christ usually took almost every opportunity. Everybody always tries to soften it by saying how gentle and how soft-spoken he may have been. And you're going, you know what? In the scripture record, it doesn't say that. I mean, you can interject it all you want to. Whatever. But it doesn't say that. For all we know, Jesus was a hard man. Because he'd often say, people take what I say to be hard. And they shouldn't. And you're going, does he say that because that's the way he comes across? It seems like he would only say that if that was what people were saying about it. Oh, you take, you know... Laman and Lemuel in the Book of Mormon were very much people who said, oh, I don't like what you're telling me. It's not kind enough. And the most important thing is that you need to be kind. And you go, when you say that, it sounds like you don't want to hear it at all. And you certainly won't hear it unless it's kind and the only thing that is kind is never to say a bad thing about another person. Or never say never put any kind of a demand or a condition on other people, because that may cause them not to pay attention to you because you're not being nice enough. And it's like, oh, you're kidding me. Good gravy, people. You know. Wrap something that you're saying in so much sweetness that people can hardly recognize that you're doing it. And people look at that and say, well, that's a really good way of doing it. And you go, no, that's what gets to the point to where the message doesn't get across. That's the tricky thing. Anyway, so I'm here at the gate. Hopefully we're not going to give these people too much grief. It's a little cold out here. They got all their cold weather stuff going. Because they're out here being cold weathered.
Morning, sir.
Good morning.
You have a good one, okay?
You too. Thank you. So, I don't know if I'm being really just trying to be an apologetic about something. I don't tend to apologize. Am I a wonderful, kindly person? I said, I don't know. I'm not going to sit there and try to say I am. Other people can make that determination. It's not for me to say. I'm far more interested in not being accused of having not been straightforward. So yeah, when it comes to Shayna or my wife or me, I don't tend to do it to Lisa, That's my short of heaven prime relationship. And that one's the most important thing. And I don't think Lisa's really doing a bad job. I really married incredibly well. So I'm quite happy about that. Have you got a responsibility to your children? Yes, because, most of the time, people won't just come out and tell you things. Sometimes that's why I kind of like the military. Your drill sergeant, your chief, your stuff like that. Oh, here we go. We'll get through to that. One of the things that people really respect about those people are that usually they will just get right in your face. They have a very limited amount of time. They really have to accomplish something almost immediately. And they don't have time for a lot of niceties. Mine's mostly is after I've ripped you a new one, I say, are you okay? Are you going to be all right? Says, because I don't want you to fall apart. It's kind of like that whole thing in the scriptures, which I use a lot. Speak betimes with sharpness and then return with love later on, lest somebody esteem thee as thy enemy. And you don't want to do that. If you've taken somebody down a peg or two, you want to make sure that they know that you care about them, that you love them. You have to sit there and say, well, this is how I love you. And you go, eh. And says, you just go, are you okay? Why would you treat me better? And you go, well, sometimes we just need to have it tossed in our faces. I don't like it either. I'm not a fan of being treated this way. And you go, but it happens. The biggest thing is how you react to it. Do you immediately start, you know, hating that person and avoiding them? And you go, well, maybe. He says, okay. He says, well, don't do that, you know. Make amends, make up for it. I think about my neighbor right now. We had a row about dogs. He is a dog keeper, and his dogs were digging under fences and getting out and getting into stuff and tearing stuff up. And I was angry, and I made threats to the dog. And boy, that really made them angry. You know, dogs are central to their lives. They're like kids. A lot of people treat their dogs like children. But also the same thing about, well, my doggy can do no wrong. And you go, you know what, your dog did do wrong. Tearing up stuff in my thing, getting into my garden, doing stuff like that. So we had a little row about that. It seemed like things had gone badly. So I started trying to do things to tell them that we were okay. And it's really, you know, I do the occasional favor for my neighbor. And they're grateful for it. And it's like everything's pretty good. Anyway, so am I being too mean to my daughter? That really remains to be seen. How do I feel about it? I feel okay. You know, do I bring up my angst at my daughter's behavior often? I hope not too often. Because frankly, I don't think she reads, I don't think she listens to this. If she stumbled on it and started listening to it, you know, she might say, oh boy, Dad just doesn't like me much. And you go, no, it's not that I don't like you. I don't like what you're doing. And I'm going to say it. I can say all day long, well, I do it because I love you. You know, and that's kind of, you know, some people say, well, that's disingenuous. If you loved me, you wouldn't talk like this. And you're going, well, you're just absolutely wrong on that one. The people who really care about you don't want you going down a rat hole of a road, which I'm sorry, transgenderism is a rat hole with nothing good down there to be gotten. Anybody who talks nice to you and encourages you in transgenderism is not doing you any favors. Even if there's sweetness and light about it. So, here I am. I'm at the parking lot. I'm going to park here. And I'm going to go to work, because once you're awake, you might as well, and you're not going right back to sleep, you might as well just get to work. It's 5:00 a.m. Have a great day.